Brennan.
I want to talk to you a little bit on behalf of the elders about what is planned and give you some better definition of the journey that we're talking about taking in 2019. What I'm going to say is, back up one quick step. A few months back earlier back in 18, we talked about the elders forming an advisory and integration group. And this is one of the things that have been worked through the group, and it's being presented to the church as something good for the growth and development here. Now, I've got a mixture of things. It's what I'm going to say is something like a sermon, because it's going to cause you, I think, to think about some things, challenge you on some things you need to rethink or haven't thought about. It's got some mechanics in it. It's got some information about what we're going to do. So you'll get a mixture of things. Just stay with me as best you can. The question arises, what is it we are to do? And if you look in the scriptures and you try to summarize all down what God wants, what he's looking for, what he hopes for, is a humanity who has a restored relationship with the Creator. And that's as modeled as Jesus Christ. Now, that may be an awkward way of saying something, but stop and think about it a moment. We are to be in the business of helping people rebuild a relationship with Jesus Christ that was lost in Adam and Eve. Is that not right? What would God like to see? What was broken? What was lost at that time? The relationship between mankind and God. That's what was lost. And that's what he's been trying to restore. And he said in Genesis chapter 3 he was going to restore it. And he told Abraham that I'm going to restore it. And I could go through all the sequence. He told David, I'm going to restore it. I want that relationship. I want the relationship. And at the cross, he made it possible. If we will, with our free choice and our free will, will surrender to him, then he will restore the relationship. And so what he's looking for, his vision for his people, is a humanity who has a restored relationship with the Creator as modeled by Jesus Christ. So I want to repeat something I said to the class this morning in the class time, because many of you weren't there, and it's very important. People ask, well, why are we doing all this? What's the problem? Well, there's none that we know of. We are to help with spiritual growth in life's journey. Spiritual growth is something that takes nurturing. You have to guard against becoming dormant or distracted. Isn't that in our super comfortable society, except for what we create for ourselves, but I'm talking about in the way of physical things, we can, and all of the electronics we have, we can get distracted. But it's a long, lifelong journey. You can grow wherever you are. I don't care how old a Christian you are, how young a Christian, how mature you are, you can still grow, because none of us have reached the full image of Jesus Christ, right? And so we can all grow. So this is not about judging somebody about whether they're doing this well enough or not well enough. It's about you taking a personal challenge to analyze your own life in some specific ways and to see where you can grow, to commission yourself to grow with the help and guidance of as you need it. So that's what we're trying to do. We want to improve the spiritual leadership, going all the way back to the survey a couple of years ago. That survey pointed out that a number of people wanted to see more leadership from the elders in terms of the spiritual growth and development of the church. And so after a fairly long process, we have this to offer, which we think will benefit the church, and we hope so that it will prove to be very useful in growth and development. The other thing is, and I won't spend any time on it, but to be more unified, unity is not an option for us. Any way you go at it, it's not an option. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, the Spirit through Paul said, one mind and one thought. That's a tall order for a bunch of independent people, isn't it? You ought to try to achieve that with as much diversity as we have. But Ephesians talks about that we are to strive to preserve the unity of the Spirit. That tells us that the Spirit's job is to deliver unity, but He can't deliver it in spite of our free will. We have to be submitted before the Spirit can deliver the unity. So let's talk about spiritual growth as a personal matter for just a moment. The Bible is very clear. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There's nobody in between. There's helpers on the standing on the side, but there's nobody in between you and God except Christ Jesus. That's what I understand that to mean. We do not relate to God. The relationship with God is not through or to an institution. It's not the institution. It's not through the elders. It's not through the preachers. It's not through ministry leaders. It's not through the janitor. It's not through anybody. And I'm redundant there for a purpose. We need to realize that we're called to take charge of our spiritual growth and development and not assume or rely on somebody else. Again, now, there's helpers, there are people who are gifted, there are folks that will help, but who has the primary responsibility is what I'm talking about. It is a personal relationship with God and Christ. It's not some sort of mechanical thing. It is a personal relationship. So we urge you to go through with us on this journey and invest yourself in it. Study, think, pray, meditate on the scriptures, talk about it. Make it a real part of your life. The way we're setting it up is so there's something to do every week, and I'll come to that in just a minute. So the real question then is, as you study the scripture and come to understand it, the question is, how am I called to show my faith by my deeds? Show me your faith without your deeds, and I'll show you my faith by my deeds, it seems like the Spirit said in James. So that's the question then, a perpetual question, is how am I being called when the when you study the scripture, it's supposed to speak to you. Now, what we have been talking about is we've had in the classes the sections 1 and 2 of the guidance paper that the elders had prepared, and now we're to section 3, which are the Christian characteristics. This is where the journey takes place, the characteristics. What characteristics do you want to see in your life as a devoted Christian? What characteristics will show that you are a Christian to the watching world? So the characteristics, where the journey takes place, it's where the rubber meets the road. We've had this little thing up before, but we just finished the foundations, and we're heading off this week. It starts today. You've got some cards and what have you in your bulletin. It starts today, and we're heading up to the first stop in the journey, which is upward. There are five spiritual growth areas. Four of them are shown here, and the other is one that works through and supports those. Upward. What do you mean by upward? And why are these important? They're important, as you will understand better as I go further, they're important because they are the realms of life in which you practice your Christianity. So they're important because realms, domains, whatever word you want to put on it, these are the domains that you work in. And so if you take from a elder standpoint, shepherd standpoint, if you back up and you say, well, what is it that if I look at somebody, what is it that I really would be concerned about? What's the first thing you're concerned about? How's your relationship with God, right? Because you can be a hypocrite and still be doing all the things that looks right. But the question is, first question is, how is your relationship with God? Upward. The second question is, we have a life together. We have a life together in Christ. We're called to that. We're called a community. Talked about in the classes. We're called a community. It's our life together in Christ. How well are we doing practicing the one another scriptures? 42 of them in the New Testament. Things like hospitality. Be hospitable to one another. Remember that verse? Help bear one another's burdens. So where is that? Who makes those choices? Whose conscience is touched by the needs of others within the body? That's inward, right? So upward, inward, what's in me, outward. What is my compassion for seeking the lost, the helpless, the harassed, and the persecuted? When you look out, what do you see as a person? You know, in Matthew 25, there's the story of the separating the sheep from the goats. Many of you are familiar with that story, right? Separate the sheep from the goats. Well, why were people classified as sheep? They were classified as sheep because they had taken care of those who were in prison and those in needy and those who had know the list. Remember the list? And so Jesus said, well done, good and faithful servant. What about the other folks? They were living in the same land, in the same world. What about them? What happened? I can hear it now. Well, if I'd have seen it, I'd have taken care of it. But did you notice that didn't wash with the Lord? It turned out not well for those. We have to develop, be able to think spiritually and see spiritually, and we have to practice it on a regular basis where when we see the world, we see it like Jesus saw it. He saw the helpless and harassed. We're called, every time at the end of with our prayer cards, we have something up about a different area of the world where there's persecution. You know the scripture that drives that, and we ought to be driven by scriptures. The scriptures are supposed to convict the heart. We ought to be driven by scriptures. Hebrews, it says, remember those who are in prison, and it's got a stinger on the end of it, as though you were there with them. That's pretty personal, isn't it? So how we do looking outward then? How good is what we see? What do we see? We just see people walking around, or do we see people with needs that we can fulfill, particularly for the with the gospel. And another one is, how are we doing looking forward? What does that mean? Well, are we equipping people in order to be able to pass it along? Apostle Paul, the Spirit through Paul said to Timothy, commit the message to men who will be able to commit it to others. So how are we doing in equipping ourselves to pass the message to the next generation? How you do with your family time about talking about how we pass it to the next generation? We have a good Sunday school here. I put in a plug for. That's part of helping pass to the next generation. So when you look at the next generation, you look at this generation, what is it I need to be equipped? What is it I need to do in order to more richly fulfill what God calls me to do? That's part one. Are we really in a training program? How many people on the job, I don't know how you are, but what I worked in for a long time, you had to have training, at least 2 to 4 training courses a year. Why was that? To be able to see that I was proficient in what I was doing. You ever have people, you have the training courses for your people? All the time, right? Yeah. Anybody that is had a supervisory job has to see what, in any kind of larger organization, has to see what the training plan is. And you see any training plans in the Army? They're full
stacks
of training. Pardon me? Yeah.
Stacks of them.
That's right. Well, I don't want to go that far, but we need to be really seeing where we need to be equipped to do better what God's called us to do. That's my point there. And then we need to be seeing what we're passing on to the next generation. Does that sound like forward? We got to think forward. So far, upward, inward, outward, and forward. Does that make any sense? Aren't those the real domains where we work and live? The last one of them has to do with guidance and care, which winds through all of the others. But we have to be concerned about godly leaders. It's very important that the church have godly leaders. And I could go into the definition of godly, but there's 3 fundamental things. Leaders have to be able to communicate the gospel in understandable ways. Remember those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of the way of life. It has to be obvious that they're living under the authority of the scriptures in Christ, and imitate their faith. And so that's why these are important. We're talking about much, much, much more than an information transfer. A lot of what our teaching does is just information transfer. But we need to be called beyond information transfer. Information that does not lead to action is a problem, particularly for a Christian, because I'm not trying to run negative on you here. I just want to remind you that there is a verse that says, to him who knows to do good and does it not, it is sin. But it's more than a transfer. It is about coming to conviction regarding what the scriptures are calling you, me, to be and to do. You want the subject, as we go through this training and through this work and through this program, we want the subject matter to be 1, personalized, 2, actionable, and 3, a shared experience. That's what we're going to try to achieve as we go through this, and with the ministry leaders and with the teachers who teach. The core of this lies with the ministry leaders. The core of the action lies with the ministry leaders, the people who work directly with the people, and the teachers who teach the classes. Those are the ones that will have to really take this and make something out of it. This is the what. They're going to have to provide the how. And that's why we're so glad we have so many capable people here to do that. But what are the three things we're going to try to do? Is take the scripture and personalize it, make it actionable, and make a shared experience out of it, because you learn a lot when you interact with each other where you're working on a common problem. Said another way, we're striving to move the scriptures from the page to the head to conviction of the heart to action. You got it? From the page to the head to conviction of the heart to action. I'm good at turning it off. As you go through your Bible study, this is a little instruction. As you go through the Bible study, here's what you want to do. And even in your personal reading, I found that reading the Bible doesn't do me that much good. I'm not just reading it. And so what you have to do is this. As you read, the first question is, what does the text say? What is it saying? And it's not all that mysterious if you read the context. I remember a young lady came to me once, and she was very, very disturbed and said she thought she was going to have to go to seminary in order to be able to understand the Bible. I said, well, what's troubling you? Where is one? Well, this verse here. I said, well, start at this verse and read to this verse, the context. And she did and said, oh, here's another one. Well, what about that verse? Well, start here and read here. Oh. We went through six of those, and I said, what have you learned? Context, context, context. You better know the context. Yeah. Now, let me emphasize that this way. Information in the absence of context is either meaningless or misleading. Right? Second thing is, what is this passage calling me to do? Third thing is, who can I share this with? Once you learn it, who can you share it with? How often do you ask yourself that question in your Bible? Who can I share this with? Who can I share this with? Now, in this journey, the things to explore at the first stop, this is the upward stop. We've got nine characteristics at this first stop. That'll be 9 weeks. I won't, in the interest of time, run through all nine of them, but I'll give you an example here. Today begins week one of the journey. Now, you notice in your bulletin, last week, you had a card, and what did that card tell you? It told you that something was coming, and it told you the subject matter, and that turns out to be the domains or the realms. So this was to get you ready to get you to thinking about it. Now, in your bulletin, you've got a little card, and you can put it on your refrigerator card, or you can pass it along as an invitation. But it's our journey together, the same roadmap of a thing we've had up there. But we're going to discuss one of those directions every about 10 weeks, one of those stops about every 10 weeks. But this has a thought for the week on it. Where are you in your relationship with God? Think, discuss, pray. And wisdom for the journey. Ed put this verse up earlier, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That's a promise. And we'll maybe spend some time getting in that. The other card is for Wednesday night. This is the beginning of reviving the Devo from 6:30 to 7 o'clock. And one thing that will be done, we'll try to get everybody, see if I can get a commitment, you know, to come to the 6:30 in the middle of the week. But return to that. But this invites you and anybody you want to bring with you to come to the class before the classes to the devotional is 6:30 to 7, just 30 minutes. And as a part of this, it's being revamped to complement this, what I've been talking about. You will hear it on Sunday, but then you'll hear again on Wednesday something that complements it in the 6:30 to 7. And that's all been worked out. So the week begins today, where you're to take this card and this card and put that up, and there's a thought that goes with it, some key words that go with it. The key word, if you're talking about up, what would the key word be? Take a guess. Relationship, right? That's what I was trying to talk about anyway. A relationship. The key word is a relationship. That's what Upward is about. And the key thought is, where are you in your relationship with God? So if we had a key word for this coming week, it is, I mean, since we have a key word for this coming week, it is relationship. Pardon? Yeah. It's a relationship. Now, there's a little memory verse. This may sound old school, but your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Well, that sounds like memory work to me. And I can tell you when I grew up, it meant memory work. But that was so long ago that there's very few people that remember it. But James 4:8, which we've been used here, which I quoted a while ago, but it's real easy. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Or as the older version says, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. He'll come close to you. But if I'm not looking for him, I'm not going to find him. And so the question for the week is on this card, and you can take it, and you'll have a reminder with you. And give you another sample here. There are different characteristics, one for each of the 9 weeks, and that was the first one. This is a little bit of an example of the material that'll be available. You notice week one is broken down in. I mean, the upward is broken down into week one and week two, week three, and it's got, as you notice there, there's the key word. Just take the first one. I'll stick with it as the example. Week one, see, introduction and overview, my personal walk with God. It's combined classes, and we've got a guest speaker. I'll say something about that. And a key word is relationship, and the memory verse is James 4:8. That's going to be the kind of pattern we'll have going through. We're trying to keep it alive, and not in an artificial way, but in a working way, a real working way. Is that anybody relating to any of this? I hope so. Yeah. And to start next week, where we actually come together... At the end of the week to talk about what's happened in the week. We have a guest speaker coming, Earl Lavender. He's very well schooled in the Bible. And this is one subject, this personal relationship to God is one subject he spent a lot of time on. He's well schooled in the Bible, very thorough. And he will be able to come and kind of get our wagon rolling. We're looking forward to that. So remember now, next week, it's in the bulletin. Remember now, next week is when we come together and we will have combined classes again. Earl Lavender will speak at that. Then he will speak at the assembly here. And then he has agreed to stay over, and we're going to have, it's been months and months and months since we've had a family gathering. Anybody, you remember those? And we're going to have a family gathering at the usual time at 5:30 on Sunday evening. That's when the whole church comes together. And Earl will stay for that, and he will have some sharing, and he will also give some instruction and some equipping and just haul around and have, by the way, an open forum Q&A. So if he says anything in the morning that you want to ask him about, you get a chance in the evening. So now we're keeping it simple. You eat before you come. This is not a family gathering with a meal this time. We eat before you come, all right? And or you can bring your brown bag with you. But all that we are providing, and this is the law from Pat, all that we're providing is water and lemonade. And you have to do the rest. So I could go some of these. Let me back up just a minute. I could go a little bit further with some of these, but there's a different characteristic for each week. And like week three, I just to show you the sequence here. Week one is my personal walk with God. Week two is characteristics of the God I serve. Week three is my reverence, respect for God, for who he is. Reverence and respect. We have a very disrespectful country. They'd rather use God's name in vain than to use it right. But we have to show reverence and respect for God, for who he is. But we also, week four, my adoration and gratitude for what God has done for me. And then there's more after that. There's five more. But you see the idea that we've got there. We're trying to stimulate thought. We're trying to get to think about these basic things. We get too busy to have gratitude. And that was impressed on me recently. I better watch the time. I could get carried away talking about this. My grandson didn't go to college right out of high school, and they sent him to a summer program called YWAM. It's 5 months. And 3 months were spent in the mountains of Idaho, out in nature, studying and being challenged and discipled. And I was really interested what happened there. The other 2 months, they pick a place and go to a mission field somewhere, and they go to take the gospel. They don't go for a service project. They strictly go to take the gospel. And they went to northern India. That's the poor part of India, and it's also a place where there's some difficulties in a political sense. Well, I was trying to find out what went on, and I said, well, what did you study there? What was it like? Tell me what the curriculum was. And he says, well, we spent the whole first month talking about what God had done for us and building gratitude for what God has done. They spent a month on that out of three. And he says, you know, when it came time to go to India, the question wasn't, should I go? The question is, how can I not go if I'm really grateful for what God's done for me? That's gratitude. Now, I'll admit he sometimes plays to the crowd, but I think it was good for a while. But I think it was real at that time. So adoration and gratitude, and I putting this together, I got to saying, you know, I just don't sit around and think enough about how much gratitude I ought to have. I mean, it passes my mind. But this would be asking for meditation on that. I think I've taken care of that. So let me... So there'll be one of these every week for 9 weeks. There's a 10th week built in. Reminder. Study without conviction of the heart that leads to action is dangerous, and that's what James 4:17 says. To him who knows to do good and to not. I brought this up earlier. There are several things to help move from the page to the head to the heart. Let me back up to that one. There are several things that will help that. We're trying to announce a week in advance what the topic will be. And we are looking for you to understand the text and have discussion about it, share the ideas, and share your experience from the past. That's putting it into the classes now, what we were talking about actionable and what have you. The key for the week will be out, and the thought of the week, usually a memory verse, it'll be reinforced on Wednesday. So that's what we've got going in this sequence of things that we're putting together to challenge each other spiritually. As we rush around to do church, let us remember, the church was never meant to be simply a teaching and preaching point and an activity generator. You ever notice churches can generate a lot of activities? It was meant to be an interactive community of believers who testify to the living Lord. The love they show, or they testify to the living Lord by, the love they show to God and one another, the concern they have for the lost, the helpless, the harassed, and the persecuted, and the helpless and harassed are the disenfranchised. Pray we can pursue those characteristics that will provide the testimony that lets the world know whose disciple we are. This is a global thing. It's a, you know, if we look around in our society, there's cause upon cause upon cause. Every time you turn around, there's a new cause, right? It may be environmental, or it may be cancer, or it may be, you know, whatever little thing that comes up, there's a cause around it. And many of those are good. I think it's good when people can invest themselves in a cause. But stop for a moment. We have been called to the greatest challenge on earth, and we've been called to the greatest, lost my word, cause. We've been called to the greatest cause that the earth has ever known. It's more than just a mission. A mission, you go out and take an objective. This is a cause. And you invest yourselves in causes. You invest your time and your energy and your emotions in causes. And we've been called to the greatest cause in the face of the earth. So, and we need to have it in that perspective. And it's a global cause. It's not just another cause. It's not just that we have a cause and we're going to do some good works. It is a cause beyond any other cause. Then now we're going to, my two fellow elders are going to lead some in prayer. And that will conclude this part of the assembly. Thank you for your time and attention. And remember, and get ready for next Sunday when we get really going. Thank you.
Just want to say one other thing, and then we'll pray together. Richard alluded to this, but I had written this down. I said, we are on a lifelong journey planned for us by God. The day we were born, He left us the roadmap of how we can reach our final destination. But each of us must choose to accept and follow those directions. I believe that this is the most amazing trip that you and I will ever take, with lots of twists and turns, but with God's leading, the results are imaginable and awesome. I hope you believe that. And in my prayer, in our prayer, I think as the leaders is, we the elders and leaders are asking, maybe even begging you to look deep into your hearts as we look into ours, for how God can change your life for His glory and for the glory of, so that we can impact this world. So let's pray together. Father God, thank you so much again for your love. Thank you so much for your awesome power, God, that you provide abundantly, that you have shown us your way. God, may you continue to show us your way, and may we all have the courage, God, to step outside of our comfort zones and step into the places where you really desire for us to be, and so that you can use us in your way. God, help us to pray fervently. God, help us to take that time out, those of us who can fast. And God, I know I need to, and I believe many of us feel that call that we need to fast and really pull ourselves away from the world, and so that we can draw closer to you. Help us to think about those ways that we can do that, and the need to truly do that. So that God, truly what you are desiring for us to be and do in these upcoming months and years going forward, God, we can see that more clearly than we ever have before. Thank you for Christ. In His name I pray. Amen.